Welcome back, Prince. So now we're on to a brief biographical sketch of Aya's life. Nothing is wasted in divine providence. Isaiah, son of Amos, appears on the scene not as an anonymous prophet from the wilderness, but as a man well acquainted with the court of Judah, a member, as tradition holds, of a prominent Jerusalem family. As discussed in Miracle Micah, Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah's proximity to power, combined with his poetic eloquence and theological depth, suggests he was not only highly educated, but formed his prophetic task from an early age. Curtis Mitch notes Isaiah's access to kings and his facility with literature, Hebrew, as signs of a cultivated life lived close to the temple and monarchy. So God wastes nothing. Isaiah's experiences, upbringing, and cultural literacy were all part of his divine preparation. The prophet began his ministry in the year that King Uzziah died, around 740 BC, a moment of national anxiety and transition. Isaiah would go on to serve through the reigns of four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. These were not mere figureheads. Each king reflected the spiritual climate of the nation, and Isaiah's prophetic word responded accordingly, calling Judah back to covenant faithfulness while anticipating the coming judgment through Assyria and ultimately Babylon. The Ignatius Catholic Study Bible emphasizes Isaiah's sweeping theological vision, which connects Judah's local sins with cosmic consequences and Mary's warnings of judgment with promises of messianic redemption. Yet before any of these oracles were delivered, Isaiah had to be called and purified. His life up to that call was a divine pedagogy, all of it. The palace access, the temple exposure, the cultural refinement formed the man who would stand in awe before the heavenly throne. As discussed in Miracle Micah, Isaiah's commissioning in chapter 6 is not a disruption of his life, but its fulfillment. Even the prophet's tragic end, according to tradition, being sawn in two under King Manasseh, is not defeat, but completion of the calling that began with, "Here I am, send me." As Romans and Sirach remind us, nothing is wasted in the lives of those who fear the Lord. We know that in everything, God works for the good for those who love him. And all the works of the Lord are good, and he will supply every need in its time. So we have, this is a recent publication. This is the Catholic Study Bible in one volume. It's just delightful. One volume. And it's readable. And it is readable. Of course, I have this one. This is a standby. Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament, John Bergsma and Brent Petrie. Yes. And Bible Gateway. As well contributed to this portion.
Awesome. I love it. I love the whole idea of nothing being waste, because I think so often we can get just really bogged down when things go wrong. And it's even just in my own life, it's really cool. This last week, I was laid off from my day job as a bookkeeper, and it was kind of a shock. But I had just been working remotely from home, and I'd been wanting something different anyway, because I just was really starved for human interaction and tired of just being home all the time. And so it really feels like a blessing in a lot of ways, where at first it was kind of like shocking and scary, but even just less than a week later, I already have a interview set up with just because of some guys that I know from trivia that I host. And so it's amazing how I just feel God so often comes through, when it seems like things are falling apart or going wrong. And it's amazing. I just feel I've had so many situations in my life where I've been taken care of, and nothing's been wasted.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And I have no doubt that you will just find something even better. I know of a close personal person. I won't even say. And some very wicked and underhanded things had been done. And in any event, this individual was let go, and a patent work that he had devoted a lot of years to was taken from him, was basically stolen. So it was really a very, very evil and damaging situation. And we got to praying and interceding, and they had to do their part of watching, every dime and that sort of thing, because that matters. But never lost hope. Never lost hope, and never lost confidence that the Lord would come into it. And I tell you, it really did. He ended up finding an even better job, and it was really a real grace. And the industry that he ended up hiring in is just booming. It's
Wow.
absolutely booming, mostly because of the energy needs of AI, but in general, energy needs. So it's not like we want to go through the dark valley of the night, but that's our lot. And anyone who proposes a Christianity devoid of the cross is that's not Christ. You're getting something else.
And it those moments of darkness are what open the door for redemption.
It was the shape of the gate is a cross, right? It is. And that's the ladder to heaven. I mean, there's so many images that great we can think through, but nonetheless, it's our suffering. And it's not like we're suffering because we're masochists or God's a sadist. No, that's just the reality of a fallen nature, a fallen world, right? But that's not the end of the story, right? The suffering isn't the end. It's part of the journey to the resurrection.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Now we can start to take a look at sacred scripture, which we're all very interested in seeing what that has to say in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fides erat.